Can we hear a big amen for the Lord? Wow. My goodness. Oh, wow. Are you ready for more?
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Welcome to Frontline Worship Center. If this is your first time, it's a little long maybe for what you're used to. But when the Holy Spirit shows up like this, who are we to say we're finished? So, right? So that's our desire anyway. So Lord, we just thank you for this time. We're going to transition into some amazing things the Lord wants to highlight in his word to us. So we're strengthening and increasing in the inner man, all of us. Being able to step into everything that God has for us. He's so good. He's so faithful. Yeah. You see something, don't you? I'm going to hold it up and then speak about it a little bit. You want to see what this is? And then we're going to release the children in a second. But I was telling Carly in the office that, I said, it's obviously been hanging in the office and it's a little outdated, wouldn't you say? Just a tad. It's dated. But can you just kind of go back with me, you know, many years in the beginning of the 90s. Some of you, rest of you, just watch. But just imagine me sitting on my floor making this out of pieces, out of a rug. And this is a rug. And out of, this was my old chair right here. Yeah. But this is what the Lord gave me as I began as a Bible teacher at Heritage Christian School for a number of years, teaching all the high school kids for many years, every day, every period for years, and some of the junior high, depending on the year. And this hung on my door in my classroom from day one or two or whenever, you know, very beginning, all the way through. And we kind of keep it, I don't want to say as a relic, but we keep it in the office because we do believe these words. And these words of life are very powerful. We're going to look at them today, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And we're going to look at the verse after that as well, in Zechariah 4, 6, and 7. And just really believe that God is speaking to us. And I have brought this out before, I don't know how many years ago, but I have brought this out before, and I don't know if we can attach it to something or hang it. Peter, can we put it on something? Bring one of those stands down or something. Yeah, Naomi gets to see it too. And so I know it's going to be a rather short message today, considering. And before we do speak a little bit about that, I just really would like to have some testimony. Thanks. It won't stay there, but thank you, sweetie. You're always so faithful. Thank you. But I would like to give testimony of the Lord in praise and thanksgiving for who he is, what he's doing, what he's done, because it just gives him so much joy. You know, to have a vision up here and to hear the melody and see it notes and such flying in rapid speed, you know, over to Mozambique, where we're going in July, and what we're going to be doing in downtown Canton. You'll be doing, I won't be here. But, you know, I just really believe the Lord is saying, I'm bringing him the harvest, and I'm using you in a new way. We've been doing this for years. I don't know if this is the 12th year or something in Mo's, but you'll hear more about that later. But I'm telling you what, get ready. This summer is taking off just in a new way, in a very exciting place and way. And so I wanted to just highlight a few things, and I think Spencer had a few people that were going to briefly share a couple of thoughts from what happened yesterday. There was an all-day work day of, I think, 21 or 22 people from Frontline who were part of the COOL project in Maslin, and they spent their day loving on people through fixing up houses and things like that in the neighborhood, and we've done that for I don't know how many years, since the beginning, in Canton and also in Maslin, so barring 1 year, we weren't able to do that for different reasons. And so I want to have those people. Spencer said he would have a couple of pictures ready and a few people to share that. And also, Andy, if you had something you wanted to share about First Friday, because I know people are on the streets on First Friday. And Rachel, you had something you wanted to share. You had texted me. So because we have a lot of people here who are going to share, we need to be very, very brief so the kids can go right in. It's good for them to hear what God's doing, because if they, as they know Jesus, they have the same Holy Spirit that we do. Do we believe that? I do. I know many of you do, hopefully all. So anyway, we'd like to release them after we have a little bit of sharing here. And so if I kind of move towards you, it just means let's shorten this, because I know we're all excited and we can talk all day, right? How many of us know that? And so I just want to mention that. So, do you have a few people?
Yeah.
Okay.
Peter.
The Cool Day Project was awesome. It just was... Yeah. Was amazing, and really touched my heart is this lady Justine, which Peter will give you a synopsis of what's going on. And what really stuck out to me is she just said, "I felt like a princess," and that was amazing. So
I just want to thank Spencer for heading this up this year. So I just appreciate you. Good job. Thank you so much. Took a lot of work to coordinate with the cool directors and such. So he was our liaison here from Frontline.
I'm going to give you a little background on this house. I was talking with the coordinator of the Cool Project during the day, and she told me, said this was one of the pivotal houses. There was one of three houses that they said they had to secure, really for our work the Lord to do, to spread through this entire neighborhood. And this was one of them. And at first, Justine was very reluctant to allow anybody to really do anything on our house. And so Cindy said, you know, I really believe Frontline will do a really good job in this house. So we were given this place, and we came in, and Justine, we learned right off the bat that she had severe back pain. Severe. Okay, she could barely walk up and down those steps. Had to do it with assistance, okay? And so we made it a point to just really love on her and really pour out the love of God on her and just begin to invite healing prayer to her as an option. And as the day went by, she continued to come out and talk with us, and she loved the progress. And then about midday, Teresa and Naomi came down, and they had an opportunity to specifically pray for Justine. And Justine, the second round of prayer, she had been walked through she released some unforgiveness, and soon after that, Teresa prayed for her again, and she said the pain left. Okay, I'm gonna tell you how much it left. Not only was she going up and down those steps, but she picked something up off the ground that fell, that I dropped. She picked it up like this, and she came back. She goes, "Wow, I haven't been able to do that for a long time." She said, right now at this time, I would be reaching for the pain pills. Look at that smile. That woman was touched.
Yes, Lord. You can just scroll through. I was working at a house with an awesome group of people, and here's just some pictures of everybody working and some before and after pics. So you can see what we did. We didn't actually get to interact with the family very much. They were gone most of the day. It looked like they'd gone out for some grocery shopping. But when they got back, just walking in, they were all like, whoa, this looks so much better. And so they were, you know, they were definitely excited about the work that we got to do there. But what really stuck out to me, even just arriving at the Cool Project, you know, at 9 in the morning or a little after, walking down the road and just seeing this whole street of people in orange shirts working at people's houses for free and just doing it out of their hearts. And I was like, I'm just walking down the street. I'm like, this is our family. Like, this is the body of Christ. And we're going to see all these people in heaven. And that house looks great. You guys are doing an awesome job. And so it was just so much fun. People would come throughout the day and, you know, oh, does anybody need water? And, wow, you guys are doing a really great job. And so it was just so fun to, you know, it's so many churches. I don't know how many are involved that come together. 16 ministries coming together. And it was just amazing.
I just want to thank all the people that came out and helped us yesterday at the Cool Project and all the talent that comes together. Sometimes you don't know what to do, but God knows, and he sends the right people. And so I just want to say thanks.
Thank you, Steve.
Including Pastor Bill and Mary Pat that came out.
So, Andy, did you have something about Cool? Or about First Friday?
First Friday was an awesome night. There were tons of people. And the person who was going to share a testimony ran out to the gas station. So I'm not sure exactly what that one was, but it was just an awesome night. And it was incredible. There were tons of people. We definitely got to interact with so many. And Ashley pretty much had, I don't know how many people you ran into from her school and Perry and everything else. And it was just really a really good time of connecting and you know, establishing with people that have already seen us and recognized us down there. And so, again, we're looking forward to the one in July. So get ready because it's the first Friday in July. Yes. And another cool thing that really quick that happened yesterday at the Cool Project, my mind slipped out for a second, is that Spencer had misplaced his keys. And we were kind of needing some items for the house we were working on. And these people totally came up and they said, hey, while Spencer's like, looking for him, and you know, and we're praying, Holy Spirit, show him where it's at. These guys come up, and they're with the Cool Project, and they're like, hey, do you guys need us to pick anything up? And they totally went to the store, and while Spencer was looking for his keys, like, they went, and they totally got us all these other supplies that we needed for our house and everything else, and they came back, and Spencer found his keys, and it was great, and I was just, they're like, oh, we'll just pay for it, and we'll take care of it, don't even worry about it, whatever. It was just so cool. I believe just, you know, as Carly said, the people interacting from the body of Christ, just blessing each other, covering each other, because they covered that time that you know, Spencer was looking for his keys, we didn't have somebody to go, but they were covering in between, and it was a lot of fun. So.
Thank you. Rachel, are you here? Is she here? Are you here? Ashley? Okay. Someone?
We just wanted to glorify God and thank him for Salvations at Heartland. It's a mental health hospital where people go to get restored in their mind and their heart. And so recently we've had many people coming, like 15 to 20 each time we show up. And so it's definitely growing. And it seems like Salvations are increasing there. So we had 3 just this last week, and we want to thank God for that.
That's really good. Any others, Rachie, or no? No, okay. And every time we have people we love who are here get married and a year goes by, we want to acknowledge that. And so we just want to acknowledge the first wedding anniversary of Dan and Amanda right here. That's really awesome. So, woo, firsts are really a big deal. First babies, first everything, because it goes on, right? Second, third. So God bless you guys. So, yeah, hold on, sorry. Not speaking anything over you. Anybody else who was supposed to come up and share a testimony? All right, children, you're released to go to the kingdom land. So you get to hear all these good things, so praise God. Amen. Can we put up the 1 Corinthians scripture, please? And just so the people who are leaving know, we have Bible study tonight from 6 to 8. There was a time change. It's not 7 to 9. 6 to 8 to accommodate Cavs fans. Yeah. Not saying who that would be, but anyway, we want to get the word in. So 6 to 8, if you can come out. We've had a really great time last week in Ephesians, so we're going to keep it going. So if you can put that verse up, that would be awesome. Find my glasses here. Yeah. This is a powerful verse. We're going to run through some exceedingly wonderful and amazing verses in Scripture that I think are going to piggyback a lot of what God's been doing in this season that we're in. I don't even want to put a time frame on it. But in 1 Corinthians 13, 2, and this will frame where we're going here, if you have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if you have, or I have, faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. Okay, and I want to speak this over all of us, because we had a very exhilarating time actually on Tuesday about mountain leveling mountains coming down, and this morning we sang a lot about that, which is great. The Lord is imparting, saying, I'm turning you all into mountain movers and shakers more than you've ever seen before. It's like, whoa, that's really great. And so, God, we just praise you for that, right? It's like, okay, what does that mean? How does that look for me? And what came to me was 1 Corinthians 13:2 to actually frame where we want to go with this so that we are remembering the course that we took here that we had recently in the spring, the demonstration of the kingdom. And it's really powerful. And if you weren't able to be part of that, let Cynthia know and we'll see where we want to go, what we want to do with that, if we want to have that again or how we want to do it. It was very strong because the Lord developed that and told us, this is what I want you to do right now. And it was just like, alrighty then. And then just downloaded where he wanted us to go. It was really powerful. So the demonstration of the kingdom, and that's the beginning of other things to come. But 1 Corinthians 13:2 may have been one of the verses that many of the instructors in that course actually taught from and used. But I want to emphasize this, that being a very prophetic body, which we are, being a very apostolic body, which we are, the Lord is saying, I'm going to show you what it means to be a priest and a king together. I'm going to show you what it means to mix. In my mind, we call it mixing, but not God. You know, Jesus had everything. But I'm going to show you how different aspects of who you are and how I see you are going to be coming together. So you will be the leaders, the forerunners. You'll be the ones, the revivalists, the harvesters, those who are saying, come on, let's go, guys, the ones who will be hearing. And, you know, there's a big cost when it comes to that. It's not an easy thing. Jesus didn't pay an easy price, but he paid the best price. So we need to understand and know that his definition of what love looks like will be up to him for us to be able to grab onto and discover. One of the ways is to find a place of rest in the Father because he's looking for a place to rest in us. So he's looking for a resting place in this house, in each one of us. And if we don't flow in his rest, then we can be doing and shaking and moving and, you know, doing as many things as we can, even for the Cool Project, which I dearly love. It's not about that. I'm all about let's walk it out. But the Lord is saying, I'm really looking to transform hearts, transform minds, transform lives, transform anything. And if we have this desire, I want the wisdom of heaven, and I want to be led by Spirit and truth only. Oh my gosh, the Lord will move mountains in our life to get us to that point. And sometimes it won't feel so swell. But he's determined to do that. He's done that for me, you know, and I thought, well, let's charge. And he says, yeah, but back up here. You need to, this is the way to charge. Oh, okay. So the resting place of God is what God really wants to stir up in us. And I really believe that that's helpful. If you weren't here on Tuesday and you'd like to see the little video clip that we did show, it's 5 minutes. I have it posted on my Facebook page. And Heidi, it was a healing that Heidi Baker had many years ago when she's speaking about it there. And it's very, very wonderful about leveling mountains. It's very short. So you can go there. And then if you like it, then someone else might see it, and that's good. And there's also a word of the Lord that came as a response really to what's going on in many places in the world right now. And not going to highlight, you know, this issue and that issue today, but just really believe that God is saying, listen, I'm looking for people who are all in. And so there's a picture of a written picture, if you will, of how the Lord might see us. It doesn't mean that any of us have arrived going, well, that's me 100%. But it may be the desire of all of our hearts to be able to go and step in and say, man, that's what I want, Jesus. And that will help us stay on the right path or move towards the right path if we've not been on the right path in any way. And we'll just continue to increase in spirit and truth. Amen to that. But I just wanted to highlight that. So if you want to write that down, 1 Corinthians 13:2, I think that's really important. And then if you can, open your Bibles, please, to Zechariah in the Old Testament. Just want to give you some background information about the book of Zechariah. We've been going through Hebrews, and I really sense that the Lord is saying to individuals, okay, because this house is always all about the word and preaching the word. But I'm believing for individuals, he's saying, and that means you because you're part of the house. So let's jump into the word even more, not just on Sundays or Tuesday, however way God wants to do that in the fire and wind. But listen, let's just step in more and more and more. I just really encourage you. It's just so rich. And I'm not going to try to defend the word because it doesn't need to be defended. So we know that the word of God is amazing. So Zechariah is a book that we're going to be taking a look at. It's very prophetic. It's a book that's very similar to Isaiah. It's the second book after Isaiah, not in order, but second book after Isaiah, not necessarily, that is filled with prophetic proclamations and declarations and messianic prophecies, meaning what's going on with Jesus and what's going to happen? Is Jesus here? What's going to happen when he comes? What's going to happen to the Jewish people? What's going to happen in the last days? So it's a very rich book of 14 chapters that the Lord has taken us back to. And actually, if you heard me before, I think it fell off. Oh, no, I wrote it right here in little. This is from Zechariah. This is how we began. You know, this is before Frontline years. So Zechariah is extremely important. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. So God is going to teach us and impart to us more of who his spirit is in these latter days in ways that are way past what any of us can understand at all. So just expect a wild ride from this point on, this season of life on. The Lord is turning things upside down, and he wants to do it as quickly as we're ready for. Okay? So think about that. So we're seeing some amazing things happen in our midst. I've also been going through Hebrews, and I'm going to continue to do that, not today, but Hebrews and Zechariah and some other key places that the Lord is highlighting as we are going into this next season. We're in another season. We have been for a little bit here. And so we're not just going to be talking about birthing and pregnancy and all that. The Lord is, and that's all important. We have many, many, many messages and sermons all about that. And you can look them up on the website if you want to go back and start seeing in a timeline, a spiritual timeline for your own life. If you want to go back 2010, 11, and you just start listening to things, oh my goodness, you're going to see a pattern, and you'll be able to even take a look at your own life and say, where was I then? Where am I now? What am I feeling? And, you know, God is just wanting to keep us moving in the right direction. That's just his heart. He loves us so much. He loves everyone in here so much. So for Zechariah, I want to give you, again, just a little bit and then hit a few verses and move on from there. But Zechariah was a prophet, and he, again, was a counterpart. He was a protege, in a sense, to Haggai. Haggai was also a prophet, one of the minor prophets, and Zechariah was very strong in his prophetic abilities, listening to the Lord. Remember that the Holy Spirit didn't live in these Old Testament people, right? But he came upon them. So this is an amazing book during the time where God's people were being rescued out of captivity. Okay? We know that they spent 70 years in Babylon in captivity, and King Nebuchadnezzar was used actually by the Lord to demonstrate what the Lord thought about a lot of things. You know, we can see the history of our Israelite family from the past, in the sense of being God's chosen people. We can see that all the way through from the very beginning, from Abraham on, even before, well, Abraham on actually, but before that, to the very beginning in the garden, not calling them Israelites, but God's chosen people were coming. And so God is saying, I have a plan for mankind, and this apple of my eye, Israel, my eyes are on that place and these people, and I've never changed. And so when I give a scripture, I give a verse, and I say anybody who comes after the apple of my eye is coming after me, and it's going to trigger something in me, we need to pay close attention in our own lives, which I don't think is a problem here, but also in the life of our own country. So we need to be praying more for Israel, and that's a strong move that we are part of also in this house. So back in the day, I'm going to give you a few facts here if you want to write them down, just for those who really find that to be important, which should be all of us actually. But the Lord wants to give us a little bit of a timeline so that we can understand some historical things that weren't just historical. They were historical events that happened, but that he said, this is for you. This is for you today. This is for you now. This is for the future. This is for the past as well. So when we're studying a book like this, or we're going into covering anything, you know, whether it's Old Testament, New Testament, the Lord wants us to know that he's speaking to us now and also for the future. Because Jesus is the same when, yesterday, today, and forever, right? So he's got a message for us, and those who have eyes to hear and eyes to see and ears to hear will be able to discover that, because the Lord says, my word is rich, and it's beautiful. So in Zechariah, I'm not starting from chapter 1, where Ephesians we are. That's what the Lord's directive has been for Ephesians. So I just invite you to come out tonight if you're able to make it. And also, if you have time in the afternoon, if you'd like to listen to the 2 hours or so from last Sunday, there's a lot of groundwork that was laid for where we're going before we even got into the book of Ephesians. So it's very important. So just really believe that that was sent out in an email. So if you didn't get that, see Cynthia too. She'll make sure it happens somehow. Okay, one moment. Okay, let me give you some dates if you're date people, which I am, I like it. And I need to be reminded of dates and things like that. But I just want to give you some things that the historical setting for this book is between 520 and 518 before Christ. Okay, that's the historical setting for the entire book. There are 14 chapters, and God is really fun the way he sets the Bible up. You know, he knows that we're we can be very linear in our thinking, and he gave us our minds, and so he wants us to be able to understand the purpose, the background, the place of the books that we're going to be discovering more and pulling the jewels out of. He wants us to know what he's talking about and why, and where, why it fits in the Bible, where it does, and things like that. So that's all just part of being a good steward of the word. But this book is filled with finishing the temple and messianic prophecies, because the temple of Solomon was destroyed during this time, during the Babylonian captivity. This is just all part of the destruction where our Israelite family, in the sense that they are God's chosen people, in that sense, not in the sense of belonging to Jesus the way we know Jesus, but that sense, that the Lord was allowing that for many, many purposes, but the outcome of that was that the Babylonian captivity, where all the Israelites, I mean, thousands, tens of thousands of people were, even more, hundreds of thousands, you know, were taken and actually held in bondage for these years, but the Lord set them free. There was restoration. There was a rebuilding of the temple. But the Lord put people in the process that he wanted them to be in, to be able to recognize what was happening now, to get their eyes back on the faithfulness of God, and also to see where the coming Messiah fits, because everybody who had any awareness that there was to be a Messiah wanted him now. You can imagine, with all the things that we hear and we study and we learn about in the Old Testament, where is this Messiah who's prophesied? The Messiah who's coming, who is this guy and why isn't he here? And I don't like being a slave generation after generation after generation, and this is hard. So, you know, everybody had their opinion, and only the prophets of God who were getting revelation from God himself would have any hope of being able to make clear to the people what was going on, the priests and the prophets. And there was a double role, actually, that the prophets and the priests actually held at times. And so with Zechariah, he was one of them. So he was one of them who was able to come together in a priestly way, but also in a very prophetic way, having the word of the Lord. With Haggai was an older gentleman, and he was kind of a younger buck coming up, and they worked simultaneously. And so when Ezra got the word of the Lord, or was given the word of the Lord to be leading the people into rebuilding the temple, God said, I'm going to free my people, and it's going to happen my way, and I'm going to name various prophets who are going to be influential to encourage the people. Come, let's go. God's going to release you. He's releasing you. The restoration is in process. It's going to happen different ways. And that, when I show you what that's going to look like, you're going to need to step in and do what I tell you to do. So when you do, when you step in and you do what God tells you to do, then he's going to give you revelation. And so you need revelation from heaven, and also revelation from heaven, again, to be able to continue on and not fall into discouragement, not fall into man's way, not fall into your own purpose, not fall into anything else other than, God, what are you doing? I have to hang on. So these prophets were used to not only be used by God to forecast what was about to come, but also give people revelation of what was happening at the moment and to be encouragers. And Nehemiah was part of that as well. And we'll talk about him at another time, Nehemiah and Ezra in rebuilding the temple, rebuilding the walls. And so in the 520 to 470 BC, which I gave you, at that time, that's the writing generally where a lot of this is taking place, because the book was broken up into two general areas. Like I said, you know, the first eight chapters were dealing primarily with this, but not alone, because Jesus never is so segregated in, or even isolated where he wouldn't be involved in, you know, Genesis 3. Come on. Jesus and the revelation of Jesus is everywhere in the scripture from beginning to end, right? And so even in those first eight verses that primarily deals with the restoration, you know, the people coming back out of Babylonian captivity and what was going to happen when they were asked to start rebuilding the wall, Jesus and messianic prophecy of who he is, him coming forward, all of that from God was happening during those eight chapters as well. But then you kind of, there's a transition into the 9th through the 14th, and then the emphasis is more so on who is Jesus, what's going to happen, the Israelites, what's that going to mean for the nation Israel, and what's going to happen in these last days. So there are many prophetic things that are already coming to pass that are mentioned in this book. They're very fun to discover, and we talk a lot about this, or more so about this, even in our Watches of the Lord, and in different ways. Everything that we offer here is scripturally based. So I just encourage you to take advantage of whatever the Lord puts on your heart to take advantage of, so you can get a full picture of what he's telling us right now. That's our desire anyway. Let me give you a couple more dates, and then we'll move on. Don't want to hang on dates. But anyway, Solomon's temple was destroyed in 586 BC. So if you want to write that down, before Christ, that's when the destruction of the temple took place. And in 538 BC, okay, notice where we're going up to when Jesus was born, right? So we're starting out with the larger numbers if this is new to you. Cyrus, at that point, King Cyrus said that people would be returned to their homeland. And so at that point, there was a fulfillment of a prophecy that came before that, saying that was going to happen. And only God could do that. You see, this wasn't Cyrus just saying, oh, whatever. This is God moving on people, moving on nations, moving and saying, this is my plan. This is where I'm going. This is what I'm doing. And I want you to see the bigger picture, because it's for you today. For us to have a very accurate picture of end time work and prophecy and things like that, we have to understand what came before that. So this is all part of that. And it's probably not new for many, but we're going through this again just to, because God said so, right at this time, I believe. And so anyway, a few more dates, and then we'll move on. That in 607 to 586 BC, that was the year. Those were the years, generally, of the 70-year exile at that point. The Jews were taken captive by King Nebuchadnezzar, which I already mentioned, and they were taken to Babylon. And this fulfillment of prophecy actually led to revival. And so this is what we want to see as we're picturing what will revival possibly look like here. There is no revival if there is already complete wah for Jesus. All right, revival will happen when there's some death and destruction and negativity. Then we need to be revived, right? And so the Lord is saying, this is what I was doing to these people. They really needed it. And so there was, many theologians say that there was not as much, at least for that period of time, emphasis in the Israelites' hearts on worshiping false idols, golden calves, and things like that. It's like, okay, I can see, you know, tough times can do something to us if we have our eyes on Jesus, if we have our eyes on the Father, if we have our eyes on our Creator saying, I give, I want to do it your way. So the faithfulness of the Father is shown all the way through this, where he has permitted this, certainly, but there's lessons to be learned, and all of it still so beautifully points to the messianic coming, forthcoming of Jesus. That's what's so exciting. That God says, I know you in your life. I know exactly what you're thinking right now. I know what you're feeling. I know what's going on. And I know where your priorities are. I know where they are not. And I know what leads you into fulfillment, and I know how my presence is or isn't really important to you. I know all the blocks in your life. I know what will stir you up, and you can't fool me. You know, he knows. And that's what's so gratifying, that even towards the end of our worship this morning, it was beyond powerful, going right into heaven. It's like, wow, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else in the universe at all, other than right there at that moment, because the Lord showed up that way where we were, that way, that powerful. That's amazing, isn't it? And so you, God says, I want you to step into that dimension that you're already a part of, because we're two-dimension people. We are. We live in this natural world, but we also are part of this spiritual world. When Jesus ascended, you know, think about this. We think of all the movies where they just watch Jesus go up, you know, like, oh my gosh, he'll just go higher and higher and higher. But it says in Scripture that a cloud enveloped him, okay, and suggested that he may have been lifted up, and then just in so many words so we can understand, just stepped in to the other reality, you know? The other reality. Back in, I don't even know when this was, maybe the 80s or something for some of you, there was this book by Frank Peretti. Don't go read it, I'm just saying, I read it. But anyway, it's called This Present Darkness. Yeah, oh, yeah, it's all about demons. Don't read it. Let's read about Jesus. I don't care about demons, but I'm very familiar with them, okay? But my eyes are on Jesus. And so This Present Darkness was a very interesting novel that took people into places of, oh my gosh, really creating theology for so many people. And wouldn't it be better for us to step in and say, this present reality is where I'm choosing to live. My present reality is going to be the third heaven, and I'm going to understand what that is when I hear that here, and I don't even know what she's talking about. Or maybe I feel a little woof during worship or whatever, but what is this present reality that I really am in? Come to Ephesians tonight, and you'll hear a little more. But anyway, just a little side note. But let's take a look, if we can, at the verses. Carly, we're going to put all those different versions up. I just think they're wild. Everybody's in Zechariah. I just want to turn to chapter 4. So if you can turn to chapter 4, that would be so good. By the way, during these, in this book, there are 8 different amazing visions that Zechariah had. Go read them and just say, what's this mean, God? Help. And if we're moving on the right track with the Lord prophetically and in many ways, he'll give us some understanding. But what we want to do, and I was just sharing this with some people this week, that as we're getting into these supernatural areas of dreams and visions and words and all of this, the Lord, he's so smart. He's smarter than us, you know? And he's telling us, look, kids, I know what's going on in your world. I know what's going on in your life. And I know what you think, and I know what you don't believe. And I know what can actually hinder the appropriate impartation that can come from what I reveal to you in dreams and visions of your own and in the scriptures, both. And one of the most dangerous things that we can do is call something God's voice, and it's not God's voice. That's so dangerous because it doesn't attract anything but dark angels, because that's where they hide. Because we feel so good about, wow, I can hear the Lord. And the enemy goes, yeah, you think so. Keep going. And the enemy can set up things for us. So it's like, oh, great, now I don't know if I can hear the Lord. No, Lord always wants us to know. We got saved, didn't we? We can hear him. We wouldn't have responded to his voice, right? So we can hear him, but he wants to mature us. So there's no counterfeits. There's no mess in that area, especially as we're moving so fast and furiously, powerfully, in the supernatural realm in this body. So that's very, very strong in us to be extremely, you know, grounded in those areas. And just to throw that in there. But anyhow, for Zechariah 4, 6 and 7. Oh, my goodness. We have so many translations up here. We're just going to have to, I'm going to highlight a few things. And what I'd like you folks to do, because this is, we have a lot of them. I don't know how many I gave you, Carr, of translations for just these two verses, because they're so powerful. And I'd love you to write down at least the key point of the verses, okay, so that you can go, oh, that's amazing. And if you don't have a Bible that covers them all, that will help. So Zechariah 4, 6, and 7. This is New Living. This is an actual translation. So this is not an authorized version. This is a translation, okay? This is another opinion. And you can have truth that comes through, paraphrased, sorry. Yeah, not trans, it's a paraphrased. And you can have truth that comes through for sure. But I always recommend that you have an authorized version with that. So if you want to check something out, you can, you know, be as informed as possible. So that's really good. But anyway, this is really awesome. Then he said to me, this is what the Lord says to Zerubbabel, who is the governor at that time when the Jews were coming back to Jerusalem. It is not by force nor by strength, but by my spirit, force and strength, okay, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Nothing, not even a mighty mountain, will stand in Zerubbabel's way. It will become a level plain before him. And when, that's a tough word to say, Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel sets the final stone of the temple in place, the people will shout, may God bless it, may God bless it. Okay, now we're going to have a little more explanation for that as we go into some of these other verses. Okay, next translation, next. This is Darby, which is not as familiar to some, but it's an excellent translation. And he answered and spoke unto me, saying, this is the word of Jehovah unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith Jehovah of hosts. Okay, now there was a great mountain in front of 50,000 people that were released at this time during one of the restorative releases. It's a whole lot of people. And when people have to get organized and they don't have everything we have, they didn't, as you know. See, can you imagine trying to rebuild the temple, rebuild the walls, rebuild everything with the archaic means that they had? And people are people. They're human with emotions and feelings and trying to figure out what's going on. And they've been herded as cattle, herded out and herded in. And now they're to do the work of the Lord? Wow, that's not easy. So this was needed. This was powerful. And here we have the Holy Spirit living inside, speaking to us all the time. So he's saying, you can walk in the gift of prophecy. You can walk in the prophetic words of the Lord. You can hear what God is saying in this hour. But if you don't stay on the track I have you, you will go astray. And it will be fast and probably pretty ugly. Because that's what the enemy has to do, because it so appeals to our senses. And anyone who has gone off even a little bit, you know, the Lord's saying, sweetie, if you know me and love me and you want me, come back and I am going to position you well. But it's only going to be through humility. And when I am in charge, humility will be your purpose for me. Humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will lift you up in due time. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou dost become a plain. So we're talking about something huge, metaphorically as well, and it's leveled. And he shall bring forth the headstone with shoutings, grace, grace unto it. So the capstone, the headstone of everything, the beginning of the plans of the Lord from Solomon's temple and the rebuilding of this, what God said would happen, would come to pass, but it has to be done his way. And that's why we have to know Holy Spirit so well. We have to know him. We just don't have a choice if we want to move forward in things of the Lord. And the funny thing about it is that the gifts and the calls of God are irrevocable. So you can see somebody doing something that looks super duper powerful, and you go, wow, they must really be close to Jesus, and they might not be. And you've got to be able to discern and know the difference and say, okay, I see something happening. That's really good. I don't, how does that work? Because God is merciful. But he's saying, listen, tag yourself with people who are humble, who are going low, who say, I want you, Jesus, and it doesn't matter what it looks like for me. And you'll be able to determine that and discern that by the very one who lives on the inside, by the Spirit of God, who lives on the inside because we're his temple. So we live in great days. And he says, I am going to increase your faith. You're going to have great faith, great days, because of great grace being upon you. And that's something that I'm doing for my bride right at this moment. Okay, next one. Contemporary is CEV. So contemporary English version. So the angel explained that it was the following message of the Lord to Zerubbabel. I am the Lord, all powerful. So don't depend on your own power or strength, but on my spirit. Now, if we said this when we got up in the morning, oh my gosh, Lord, you say, I declare your words that you are the powerful one. You are. I am the Lord all powerful, and I will not depend on my own power or strength, but on my spirit. Zerubbabel, that mountain in front of you will be leveled to the ground. It doesn't say that it might be. It says it will be. That's the faithfulness of God. He says, will you see my nature as you're reading my word? My faithfulness is there for you, even in the Old Testament. I am so faithful. I will bring you into the greatest marriage, the greatest business, the greatest place of ministry ever, because I am faithful and I need you to be out of the way. And that's what he was saying. It's like, whoa, that is going to produce and increase humility in us when we recognize the face of God, the face of the Father through his word to us in worship. And he says, people will be unstoppable in the kingdom who get this. You don't just get this up here. You get this here, and it drives you to your face. It's like, I can't even live without more of you, God. I just can't. And my yes is yes and yes, especially when I feel like garbage, and I feel like, I feel like it's a no because it just makes sense, and my emotions are out of whack. And the Lord says, go back to the word and claim my word and speak my word and let it be from me for you. He's so faithful to us, but he made it really clear. Then you will bring out the temple's most important stone and shout, God has been very kind. Ah, but Lord, I feel miserable. I know. But Lord, I just want to scream. I know. Lord, I'm so depressed. I know. But I have a way out. I have a way out for you so that you can be a true mountain mover based on my love. And it's not something you're striving for. It will happen because I will make that happen inside of you. But I'm calling you to press into me. That's one thing out of that 5-minute video that I picked up. Maybe you did too. Remember, it was just a 5-minute video, but press in, press in, press in. Heidi was dying, so she pressed in, saying no, 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 and she's dying. And every flesh-eating creature on the inside of her said, yes, yes, yes. Wow. And she got a result. And I've been working with someone who actually has been given the same diagnosis as she had. And it's nasty. The enemy's nasty, but Jesus is bigger. But we need to fight him his way. And if we feel like we can't and we're stuck, God will unstuck us. Stick us. Somehow, because he's faithful. Okay, let's move on. The Living Bible, TLB. This is another one for some of you who have this. And the reason I'm doing this is because some of you do. Okay, I'm pretty much a NASB girl, and I use a New King James and other things like that. It's not that I don't, you know, ever look at these, but you'll see, obviously, from being here that you see a lot of things on the screen. But I'm also going to put this up here because it's really good. Then he said, this is God's message to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. You will succeed because of my spirit, though you are few and weak. Few and weak? How many did I say? Come on. Few? With the mountain in front, you feel like just a little turnip, you know? It's like, oh, I feel like I can't even get up. I feel like I can't rise. I feel like I can't do this. I feel like. And the Lord says, I know you do. So you need to think with my eyes, or see with my eyes. You need to think with my mind, connecting with your mind, because if not, the ones who are destined to be mountain movers won't be able to invoke and to rest in the Lord to be able to do that. And he says, I want you to do that. It's going to come through my spirit. Okay? So this is the nature of God. This is the power of God. This is his majesty and his character. Therefore, no mountain, however high, can stand before Zerubbabel. Say it to yourself. Therefore, no mountain, however high, can stand before him. Put your name in it, for it will flatten out before him. Say this to the Lord and say, but show me how that will work. It just feels like things are getting worse. I've been at this for one day, 30 days, a year, 2 years, whatever it is. And the Lord says, I am faithful. Keep your eyes on me and I will do these things. Do it my way. Whatever that is, say yes. Whatever my way is, he says, that's what I want, because he says, I want to lead you and guide you. Filled with many choices in this world. The Lord, don't fall for the lie that says the Holy Spirit is not in control. That is a lie. And the enemy will do anything to confuse the voice of the Holy Spirit on the inside, mixing with our human spirit, with every other voice. He will do that, and he's good at it. But we are better because the greater one lives on the inside. But we must know him, and we must know how to use his word. We must worship him in spirit and in truth in these last days, because they're dangerous days. Oh, yeah. And Zerubbabel, put your name in. We'll finish building this temple with mighty shouts of thanksgiving, with God's mercy, declaring that all was done by grace alone. Real understanding of grace. God, I want to be a grace receiver and a grace giver. I want to know what that looks like. What does grace look like in this situation? And he inside will prick your heart, especially as you know how to use the word of God. Oh. Thank you, Lord, for this. Is this just stirring you up? Okay. Zechariah was a stirrer. Do you know that? He was used by God to go, come here, guys, let me stir you up. He was not a man of excuses. He was not a man who just slipped in and out just to be seen. No, no, no. God saw him, and he said, I'm at your mercy. I will bow my knee to you. I will do things your way. And if I think I am, and things aren't working, I'm probably not, even while I'm contending. It's a funny thing. The enemy, I tell you this, one thing I can tell you, we've talked about faith a lot in here, and the opposite of faith is fear. But if we will not allow the Lord to expose whatever fear looks like to him, not to us, but to him, we're foolish, really. Because there's all kinds of things wrapped up in what fear is that sometimes we don't even see. And we need to go to him and say, what do you say about this? Oh my, do it. It's very, very helpful in helping us in the humble process. Can you put it up again, please? The next one. NASB, whoo! Then he said, this is God's message to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. You will succeed because of my spirit, though you are few and weak. Therefore, no mountain, however high, can stand before Zerubbabel, for it will flatten out before him, and Zerubbabel will finish building this temple. So the Lord says, I want you to finish well. I want you to finish well. No matter how long it takes, it's going to cost your whole life. Finish well. But I am the only one who can ensure that that will happen, with your dreams and visions and hopes and all of that. But I'm telling you what, with God's timing and purpose and all of this, the whole counsel of the Lord, it might look a whole lot different at times. And we need to be able to bend our knee and say, your way. And he might even have us do this. Just turn around. Choo. But it's always a good place for us. For it will flatten out before him, and Zerubbabel will finish well. Declaring, excuse me, where am I? And Zerubbabel will finish building this temple with mighty shouts of thanksgiving for God's mercy. Circle that in your mind. Thanksgiving for God's mercy. God, thank you. Thank you. I need a grateful, thankful heart for everything you've given me, everything that comes from your hand. My best friend, human friend, my love. I am thankful for him because of God's mercy. And giving me a wonderful mate. You know, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. It's not mixed with, yeah, but rah, rah, rah. It's thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And let him deal with each one of us. And things will grow and increase always. If you're not married, that's coming. It's good. Okay, declaring all that was done by grace alone. Let's wrap it up here. I think there's just a couple more. What? Oh, this is NASB. So, okay. Then he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. What are you, O great mountain? You're a peanut from God's perspective. In other words, before Zerubbabel, you will become a plain, and he will spring forth the top stone with shouts of grace, grace, grace to it. It's time for new strategies from God. He might say, you know, this would work a little faster if you'd hear the word of the Lord that I have for you while you're standing in faith for the mountain to be removed. You know, God might be speaking, saying, I know, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. That doesn't mean you don't do anything. You know, God is saying, let me speak to you, and I'm going to show you how to move in ways that are just a little foreign, that involve grace, 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 and it leaves man's opinion out. Out. Alrighty then. And is this the last one? Two more. Okay, hang in there, guys. Okay, let's do Amplified. It's good. We'll do Message and New King James. Trying to cover everybody here. Okay, then he said to me, now check this out. The addition of the bowl to the candlestick, go read that in the scripture, causing it to yield a ceaseless supply of oil from the olive trees. Part of what Zechariah was saying, you can go read it. I'm just going to give a little teaser here. But the Lord's saying to us that we need to have fresh oil all the time to be able to understand this, put it into practice, and move forward. And that's going to be as we just worship him in spirit and in truth and come to him humbly and say, your way, not my way. I'm trying to make a decision. I know. I'm trying to do whatever you want me to do. Really? You know, that'll all come out when we humble ourselves before God. It's really amazing. He will do that inside of us. This is the cry, okay? Think of all the things that at the end of worship we said, just kind of see yourself dropping it down and stomping on it, all right? You and Jesus together, something like that. The Lord says, with my oil, you can do this. If not, you're like the Tin Man. You can't move. All right, with the fresh oil, you have the oil of the Holy Spirit moving and generating. So our desire is, Lord, I want fresh oil. I need to have a life of fresh oil. Whatever that looks like, however that moves for me, that's what I want. And you're going to speak to me, so I'll be able to discern that voice, your voice, and not my own, not my friends, not my coworkers, unless they've heard the same thing from you, because they've got fresh oil from you, Holy Spirit. You know? Let's get the fresh oil connecting together. That's really nice. But we need fresh oil for sure. Okay. Thank you, Holy One. So good. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, of whom the oil is a symbol. Thank you. Says the Lord of hosts. For who are you, O great mountain of human obstacles? Do you love it? Come on, do you love this? For who are you, O great mountain of human obstacles? Before Zerubbabel, who with Joshua had led the return of the exiles from Babylon and was undertaking the rebuilding of the temple before him. I love the Amplified because I talk like this. I'll be talking, and then there's this other... Usually when he's making coffee and he's looking at me and it's just kind of, you know, all around the barn because I just love words. So, thank you, Lord. And was undertaking the rebuilding of the temple before him. You shall become a plain, a mere molehill. Did you ever hear the make a mountain of a molehill? Come on, think about that. This is scriptural. This is the Bible, all right? A mere molehill. He was undertaking the rebuilding of the temple before him. You shall become a plain, O human obstacle, a mere molehill. Can you imagine getting up in the morning and speaking this out? And he shall bring forth the finishing gable stone of the new temple with loud shoutings of the people crying, grace, grace, grace to it. Why? Because God was behind it. He built it. We are not saying, I'm doing it my way. He's building it. And we're saying, Lord, thank you that you're continuing to say yes. And we say, yes, Lord, we bless what you're doing. If he's not behind it, it's going to be crashing. That's the important thing. That's the important thing. One of the many important things. Okay, let's finish up here. Next, please. New King James. So he answered and he said to me, this is the word of the Lord. You can write this out and put it on your refrigerator and get that before you make your smoothie. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel or to whoever in your house. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace, grace to it. Can you imagine if you're married or you live in a place with other people who like Jesus, you know, to speak this out over each other? Can you imagine if you're in agreement? This is agreement from heaven that God likes. Negative agreement he hates because it brings destruction. He hates it. And he says, if you've been part of negative agreement, not only do you have to see it, but you've got to do something to say no more, because other people have agreed with your negative agreement. And there's still this going around, you see? God says, agree with heaven, and then make your yes be yes, and your no be known. Amen. Oh, that's a good word. Let's finish it up. Grace, grace. Then he said, this is God's message to Zerubbabel, and we're going to show that two-minute video clip. We're all ready, and then we're wrapping up. This is God's message to Zerubbabel. You can't force these things. They only come about through my spirit. I love it. Says, I always tell God, really? Is this your spirit? No. Oh, okay. Hopefully, mostly yes. That's the desire of all of us, right? You can't force these things. They only come about through my spirit, says God of the angel armies. So big mountain, who do you think you are? Can you imagine that? So big mountain, who do you think you are? Looks pretty scary. Next to Zerubbabel, you're nothing but a molehill. He'll proceed to set the cornerstone in place, accompanied by cheers. Yes, yes, do it. Come on. Now, sometimes we say to the Lord, you know, you said don't do anything, and, you know, you're saying just rest, just like it says here. But it says, this only comes out by my spirit. And this other voice might say, you know, you're really trying to force things. And the other spirit, the voice of the Holy Spirit, says, press in. Press in. And I'm going to show you what pressing in looks like. If you go to the Lord and you say, will you show me what pressing in looks like? It might be way different than what we're doing as pressing in, as we're resting and pressing. You can rest in the confidence of the Lord and press in for what God wants to see happen. That's how you become a mountain leveler and a mountain mover. And it's always based in love. Okay, we're going to put this video on. Just close it up. And I it's all, you know, just bear with it. It's a little scientific approach here, but it has a really good message. And I just want you to see it. So flip the lights out before, if you would. It's only 2 minutes. And the big to-do is the last second or two. But there's a lead up. It's the one I could find. But God's going to show us quickly what it looked like for Mount St. Helens to be destroyed, which was in 1980. If you don't know about that, look it up. Okay.
These are the only images that exist of this catastrophic event. But this sequence was not shot by a video camera. Instead, it was created by USGS scientists and graphic artists based on a series of extraordinary still photographs taken by an amateur photographer named Gary Rosenquist. On May 18, 1980, he was standing 10 miles away from the mountain next to local resident Keith Ronholm.
He was on a tripod with a motorized drive and just was... and took a very much time-based sequence. I don't think he was trying to make a scientific record, but it turned out to be a very good record of the event, and I know it was used by many scientists to try to time the event and to measure how fast the landslide occurred.
The landslide, the explosions begin and they get very large very quick. So it helped to understand what had happened.
The first frame of the Rosenquist sequence was taken at 8:32 a.m. and 21 seconds. It reveals an intact volcano. But what the image doesn't show is what was happening inside.
Magma was forcing its way up into the volcano, and to make room for itself was starting to shove rock aside. So there's this rock sliding across each other that was causing some of these earthquakes. It wants to get out somewhere, and the north side seems to be the weak side. And it starts bulging there. It just looked like a big, bad blister on a tire.
Inside, the earthquakes and superheated magma have forced the north wall of the mountain to collapse. The second frame is taken 26 seconds later, capturing the weakened north flank and summit. The video morph shows the mountain collapsing into two huge landslide blocks. 6 seconds later, Gary's third photo shows the top landslide block as it begins to plunge down the volcano. The sequence depicts its movement at nearly 200 miles per hour. Still frame 4 shows the landslide after it has removed the north flank, depressurizing the magma and boiling groundwater. The video morph reveals a series of sudden, violent explosions of gas, steam, and rocks. This is known as a lateral blast. Gary's final frame is taken about 15 seconds later. The lateral blast accelerates to 336 miles an hour, completely obscuring the landslide.
Thank you, Jesus. A visual of some mighty power, right? Mike and Jamie, can you come on up? We're just going to sing out and declare out what the Lord puts on their hearts for moving mountains out of our life, and then we're going to go home. Because I believe the Lord has laid the foundation. We have worshiped. We have heard the word of the Lord, and I know he's stirring each one of us, whatever that would be. And there's no mountain too big, but we want to agree with heaven in what he says. Amen? So we're going to believe for that, whatever it would be inside of you. This is about you. You and Jesus, okay? And we just want to agree, and then after we do that, we're just going to quickly show the announcements after we have our time with the Lord. And we just want to say, bless the name of the Lord. This is a good word for today. I really believe this, because God's doing some mighty things. Mighty crashings are going on. So, Father, thank you for you give us a visual of just even Mount St. Helens, God, and we could see this eruption coming, Lord, and we only know in part. And we can only prophesy in part, God. We only know in part, and there's so much more than that. We thank you, Lord, that we're filled with joy and filled with peace, not slugs putting our heads down, saying, oh, God, I can't do it. Oh. But God saying, you are the faithful one, and I'm choosing to partner with what you've said today, what has been declared from heaven today. I say my life is tethered with what you have released from heaven for us, God. And that would be the heart's cry of people in this house. So, Father, with heads held high, looking into heaven's gate, heaven's eyes, God, we know there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But we do know, Lord, that your revealing spirit brings us into a place of freedom that knows no bound, knows no end, so that we can truly walk in and step into the fullness that you have for us, be it a current decision that we're making, or the tenor of our heart and life spiritually, or a mixture of things, or even just a release, God. Father, with the same ferocity from heaven that we sang, holy, holy, holy are you at the end of worship, God, we're just going to pick up the song of the Lord right now. Because you're so big, and now, Lord, you've gone in deeper and deeper inside of us. So we thank you, God. We thank you, Lord, for this moment, Father. And we give you glory for what you're doing, because we can't move anything. You are the mountain leveler through us, God. Your way. So we bend our knee to you, and we sing out in power and authority and praise and worship and thanksgiving with fire in our hearts. Okay? Let's go for it and see what God will do as we close off here. You can stand, you can sit, you can lay, do whatever you want. Well, I don't know about you, but there's great joy building in this moment. Joy and peace is just moving any anger out. It's moving out frustration and disappointment. It's moving out doubt and fear and unbelief. It's, hey, the wind of the Spirit is blowing in this place to bring us into a place where we feel approved of and loved by you, God, where rejection is blowing out the door. We thank you, Lord. Whoa, that your peace and your joy is coming as we take responsibility for anything we said yes to, and we simply will say no. We acknowledge you. Turn the other way and lead my footsteps. Show me, Holy Spirit, how big you are. So as we cry out to the Lord, let it be. Let it be. Thank you, Jesus.